Episode number 2 of The Reporter is brought to you by Stamps.com. You guys, the holidays, they are here. And I know, you're busy. You're horribly important and terribly busy, and you don't have time to go to the post office. The traffic, the parking, it's packed with people you don't want to be around, sending packages and arguing with people at the counter, and it takes forever to do what I do. Use Stamps.com instead. With Stamps.com, you avoid the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. And everything you would do at the post office, you can do from your own desk. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your computer, your printer. Print any postage for any letter, any package, send anywhere in the world the instant you need it. Then the mailman picks it up like a super person with a cape. It's so easy and convenient. We're definitely using Stamps.com for our upcoming Christmas sale, which you will hear about very soon. And right now, you sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Sigler, for a special offer. 4-week trial, plus $110 bonus offer, which includes postage, extra postage, you get free postage, and a digital scale. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Click on that microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Sigler. That is Stamps.com. Enter S-I-G-L-E-R. And now on with our story. Welcome to The Reporter, the Galactic Football League novella. Written by Scott Sigler and Mer Lafferty. Narrated by Scott Sigler. The Reporter is suitable for ages 12 and up and contains graphic violence. This story, along with all the GFL novellas and novels, is available as a full-length, unabridged and ad-free digital audiobook download as an ebook on Kindle, Nook, iTunes, Google Play, and more. To order any version, go to scottsigler.com/thereporter.
You say it's your birthday! It's my birthday too, yeah!
That's right, suckers! It is the Future Dark Overlord's birthday. I today am celebrating another successful orbit around the sun. I haven't been shot. I haven't been buried in a shallow ditch. And at this point, the walking cadaver is somewhere in the range of 600 years old. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. And it's Thanksgiving. You guys know what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for my family, my pup, my health, a real girl who helps me make stuff for you guys. And it's you guys for whom I am the most grateful of all. All of you junkies who have followed me over the years, whether you've been around for a decade, whether you've been around for a month, it doesn't matter. Those of you who buy the books, print books, audiobooks, hardcovers, etc., buy the t-shirts, those of you who listen to the podcast every week, you guys are the reason that I'm able to do what I love for a living. And there are no words for the appreciation I have for all of your faces. I love you all. It's true. We've been getting questions on why are we podcasting The Reporter and not The Detective? Well, my little fine feathered friend, if you stick around after the episode, I will be happy to tell you if you are interested. For now, though, we've got another advertiser, pay some bills, and then after this, I will get you caught up on the story, and then, oh, you know how we do, then we will get into it. Our second advertiser this week is none other than ShipStation.com. If you're selling stuff online, you know the holiday rush is already punching you in the mouth with a spiked iron glove of doom. Well, I can help. I can teach you how to block that. Duck it. Duck the jab and get a jab in of your own. Why? ShipStation.com, the fast and easy way to manage and ship your holiday orders from one place. It helps you get your orders out quickly. It keeps your customers happy. It doesn't matter if you sell on eBay, Amazon, Shopify, Etsy, or over 65 other popular selling channels. ShipStation.com brings all those orders into one simple interface, makes it super easy for you to manage print labels and get those orders out even from your stinking cell phone. Then use ShipStation.com to create labels for the top carriers, including UPS, FedEx, USPS. It's more stuff shipped in less time at the best rates available. That's why ShipStation.com is the number one choice for online sellers. It is the number one choice for empty set entertainment. I will tell you that for free. And right now, you can try ShipStation for free for 30 days and get an additional month free only if you use my last name, Sigler. That's 60 days during the busiest time of the year for you to evaluate if it's right for your business. So go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Sigler. That's ShipStation.com! Enter S-I-G-L-E-R. Previously on The Reporter. Star reporter Yolanda Davenport has been tasked by GFL Commissioner Rob Frost to get the real story behind the murder of Grace McDermott. Kraken's running back Jew Tweedy was accused of that murder, an event that almost got him killed by Orbiting Death owner and crime lord Anna Vellani, and led to Jew joining the INF Krakens. In just her first few hours on the case, Yolanda has already been threatened by Quith warrior Merrick the Covetous, who may be connected to Kraken's owner Greedock the Splithead. Why would Greedock get in the way of finding out the truth about McDermott's murder and Jew's possible guilt? We get more clues to the story in The Reporter, episode number 2. At the street level, the city of Mattich was a stinking, garbage-filled cesspool. If you could find a decent view, however, the city beauty could steal your breath away. Mattich sat buried deep beneath the surface of Orbital Station 1. The city of 50 million sat beneath a massive, irregular dome encrusted with the living blue crystal that also made up most of the buildings, the streets, and the planet's very crust. Artificial suns burned in the cavern high above, a cavern lined with constantly growing blue crystals that curved in on themselves or reached out, like ivy, to cling to and merge with other crystal outcroppings. The crystal never stopped growing, even in the buildings and the streets. She'd heard that over 1 million sentients were employed to constantly cut and trim the crystal growths. A strike by the Sanitation and Maintenance Workers Union some years back had come close to destroying many of Mattich's tallest buildings as the crystal grew out of control. The city government had played hardball for a week, but when a dome wall outcropping reached a building and merged with it, the building grew wild and was a solid piece of crystal days later, and the government quickly settled and gave the union a favorable new contract. No matter where you looked in the city, you saw the yellow crawlers of the maintenance workers. The spider-like machines crawled up buildings, along the horizontal spires and arches that connected all the buildings in a sponge-like mesh of civilization, and all along the city dome, grinding, trimming, and cutting the blue crystal. Miriam's building was in the northeast quadrant of Mattich, perched among other structures that clung to a small mountain of jutting blue crystal. It offered an amazing view, looking out across the sparkling blue river that meandered through the city. The square building rose up 10 stories, twisting all the way to create beautiful curves that reflected the lights above. A staircase followed that curve around, leading up as well as giving access to each floor. Wycor and Yolanda walked up that staircase, keeping close to the wall so they would not be visible from the street. Miriam lived on the top floor.
"This building is beautiful," the worker said. "With this location and the cost of keeping a surface smooth, her residence must be worth a significant amount of money."
"Miriam designed it. This is what she was working on when she retired as a bodyguard. If I remember right, she got her place as payment for her design work."
At the fifth floor, they had to wait for a beat-up yellow maintenance crawler to climb off the stairwell and let them pass. Where it had been, freshly scraped and polished blue wall gleamed with newness. The crawler clung to the wall as they moved past, then climbed back into place to continue work. Yolanda waved at the Quith worker in the crawler's cockpit, but he did not wave back. Waving was a human-centric behavior that most species didn't understand. She and Wycor reached the top floor and approached Miriam's door, a beautiful piece of composite carved in a representation of the city's river. Wycor reached for the buzzer, but before he touched it, the door opened. The deep black face of Miriam Connor looked out.
"Yolanda!"
She held up a small, wand-shaped device. Glowing green dots of light circled the wand's tip.
"I see you are still alive!"
Miriam reached out and pulled Yolanda in for a powerful hug. The heavy G woman had the size one would expect of a GFL player, and Yolanda vanished inside of the thick arms. One real, one prosthetic. At 6'4", the muscular Miriam was almost as big as Tarot and Leba. Miriam squeezed so hard, Yolanda had to tap 3 times to get her to let go.
"Jeez, Miriam, I'm happy to see you too, but take it easy."
Miriam smiled wide.
Can't help it, lady. I miss you.
Can we get inside? We had to shake a tail.
Miriam nodded like she'd realized she'd forgotten her manners.
Yes, come in.
She all but threw them into the apartment, then shut the door.
Yolanda pointed to the wand.
You still have that thing?
You can take player out of game, but you can't take game out of player, Miriam said. As long as you're alive, I will just hold on to this.
Wycor leaned in to look at the device.
What is it?
Lifelock, Miriam said. When I guarded Yolanda, I made her embedded detector. I carry this unit with me everywhere. It detects her heart rate, alpha waves, a bunch of other stuff. If she was in trouble, I knew it even if I wasn't in the room. And it sounds like I was wise to keep it.
You said you had a tail?
A key, Yolanda said. Yesterday it was a Quith warrior. Works for Greedock the Splithead.
Miriam shook her head. Some things never change. Still pissing off people who could have you whacked. And no offense, but your new bodyguard that doesn't look that imposing.
This isn't my bodyguard. It's my assistant, Wycor the Aware.
A pleasure to meet you, Miss Connor,
Wycor said.
I saw you play against the Sheb Stalkers 6 years ago.
Miriam nodded and gestured for them to walk out of the front entryway and all the way into the apartment.
I hope I had good game, she said.
2 carries for 7 yards,
Wycor said.
1 reception for 6 yards, 1 dropped pass, an 88% blocking ratio, although you did miss a linebacker blitz that gave up a sack, and one of your blocks sprang Jew Tweedy for a 34-yard touchdown. The Orbiting Death won the game by 6 points.
Miriam's eyebrows rose.
What are you, one of those stats junkies?
Yes, Yolanda said. He just studies those stats until he memorizes them.
She cast Wycor a warning glare.
Don't let on that you have a photographic memory, stupid.
Miriam's flat walls were different shades of blue, a surprisingly calm, decorative decision for a former GFL fullback. She led them to a room that had a drafting holo table and a kitchen nook that was clearly there to keep her sustained when she was deep into designing. Several prosthetic arms hung from a rack, each ending in a different drafting tool. A couch sat against the wall under a window that overlooked the city. Before she sat, Yolanda took a moment to take in the amazing view of Matterch.
Miriam, this place is amazing. You did great work.
Miriam smiled wide.
Thank you, is my humble home.
I do not think the word humble is used correctly in this context,
Wycor said.
A residence of this stature is more indicative of extreme wealth.
Yolanda rolled her eyes.
It's a figure of speech, Wycor. Don't be so literal.
Miriam gestured to a couch made for her heavy G dimensions. Yolanda sat. She felt dwarfed by the oversized furniture. Wycor sat in a chair while Miriam plopped down next to Yolanda.
So, what is up, Yo-Yo? Miriam said.
I'm guessing you're not here to compliment my architectural brilliance. You need your tiny hiney protected again, right?
Actually, no, Yolanda said. Although with 2 tails in less than a day, it might not be a bad idea to get some protection while I'm working on this story.
Miriam nodded. Jovial she may be, but she was always attentive when discussions of violence were at hand. It was one thing that had made her such a good football player.
At least you shake tail, Miriam said.
Her smile faded.
I'm glad you learned what I taught you. So I see this isn't a social call, Yo-Yo. Let's get down to business.
I'm investigating the murder of Grace McDermott.
Miriam shifted in her seat.
You already investigate that. I read your article on Barnes and my old teammate, Jew Tweedy.
I have a new lead, Yolanda said. The lead was just a single name, Miriam. Your name.
Miriam's face was a mask of non-emotion, but Yolanda could see her old friend's discomfort. Miriam was good at protecting people. She wasn't good at hiding things.
Talk to me, Miriam. Why was I given your name?
Who gave it to you?
You know I can't tell you that.
Miriam shrugged.
Well, then I have nothing to say.
That won't stop me from learning everything, only delay it, Yolanda said. You've seen me work enough times to know that. Let's just save some time, okay? Tell me how you are connected.
Miriam looked away and pulled at her lower lip.
He's off record?
Yolanda took off her bracelet, shut it off, and set it on the coffee table in front of the couch.
Off the record. I'm not recording anything.
Miriam looked down.
And the shoe?
Already off, but here, Yolanda said, pulling off the shoe and passing it over.
I swear, Miriam, I am not recording anything.
Miriam took a deep breath. She rubbed her face with her hands, then blinked rapidly, gathering herself.
I discover body, she said.
Yolanda stared. The police report said McDermott had signaled an alarm and that police had responded to find her apartment door shattered and the woman's corpse inside. This was big, big news. Yolanda needed to take this slowly, gently, coax every bit of information out of her former bodyguard.
Miriam, what were you doing at Grace McDermott's place?
My job, she said. Anna Volani hired me to redesign the hallway outside of Grace's apartment. Anna owned the building. That was common knowledge, something in both the news coverage and the police reports. It was also no surprise, as Anna and Grace had been lovers before Jew Tweedy came on the scene.
Anna Volani hired you?
Miriam nodded, still not looking.
I lie to you when I tell you they give me this place to design the building. They give me discount, but even if I was a successful architect, I couldn't afford this flat. When I play for OS1, sick of the death only team. I ask him to borrow the money.
Oh, Miriam, you asked a crime lord for a loan? The heavy G woman closed her eyes.
I know, but you have to understand. I built this place. I spent years on it, put my heart and soul into it. I needed to live here. So I asked Sika, and he turned me down.
And then you went to Anna? You asked Sika's underling for the money after Sika himself said no?
She come to me, Miriam said.
Volani say she hear about my request and she want to help. Told me she was grateful for my time in the franchise and felt bad that I lost my arm to that shucking cricket Ciudad Juarez. She said she think former players should not be abandoned, so she give me the money.
And you didn't pay her back, right?
Miriam shook her head. I wasn't ever supposed to pay her back. She say someday she might ask me for a favor. I know how stupid it was now, believe me, but at time, I couldn't pass it up. I told her I would never kill anyone. Maybe I'd have to rough up someone or something. It's not like the people Volani deals with are good, clean citizens, you know? So I took the money, I bought my dream home, I...
She stopped talking and looked away. I can't say anything else.
Don't you hold out on me now, Miriam, Yolanda said. If Jew didn't do the killing, there is a murderer on the loose. Maybe Grace McDermott slept around, but that's no reason to kill someone. You need to tell me what happened.
Miriam looked at her finally, desperation in her eyes.
But if I help you and Volani find out, she'll take my good arm. She told me that's what would happen if I said anything.
Yolanda got to her feet and stood in front of Miriam. She unbuttoned the blouse sleeve on her right arm and rolled it up. A light blue, puckered scar ran up the purple skin of her forearm. Miriam flinched.
Girl, who shucked up that healing?
This is what happened the first time I refused to give up a source. Midge the Quiet had instructions to break my arm if I didn't. He nearly ripped it off. The bone came through. I saw pieces of myself I never thought I'd see. I got the bone reset and the tissue damage fixed, but I told the hurrah that was healing me to leave a scar. I keep it as a reminder to never reveal my sources and to let future sources know that I'm serious. I will protect your identity, Miriam, but I wouldn't be talking to you if there weren't a chance Jew Tweedy might be innocent. And if he's innocent, then I contributed to his framing. I need to know who killed Grace McDermott.
Miriam sighed. With that iron will, you miss your calling. You would have made a good quarterback.
Yolanda grinned as she rolled her sleeve back down.
I'm too small for football, so I report on it.
She sat down again.
So tell me what you know, please.
Miriam took a big breath and let it out in a huff.
Okay.
I come to work, mapping out what Grace wanted done with the hallway and seeing what was possible, what costs would be. Anna told me to take my time, that she would pay for every hour I spend there, and she wanted the job done right. So I'm working, not far from Grace's apartment door, and I hear Grace scream. And lots of smashing. Once that started, I went and pounded on door. She didn't answer, and I didn't hear any more noise. I broke down door and found her there.
Miriam's eyes went glassy as she remembered.
She was almost unrecognizable. Her head had been smashed in. Her brains were on the carpet. It was awful. She had been twisted around. Her spine snapped. She could have looked down to find out if her dress made her butt look too big.
Yolanda blinked. There's no way a human could have the strength to do that. Not even a big human, like Jude Tweedy.
No kidding, Miriam said. So I was bent over her, stupidly checking for pulse, and someone knocked me in back of head. I woke up in the bedroom. The bed was broken, I guess from when the sentient threw me in there.
And you didn't see who it was that hit you?
Miriam shook her head.
How convenient. You found the body and didn't see a thing.
Wait a minute, Yolanda said. What were you doing with the body?
Miriam blinked.
Huh? The body, Yolanda said. You said you were bent over the body. Why?
I was checking for a pulse.
Yolanda's eyes narrowed. A pulse. You said her brains were on the carpet and you were checking for a pulse?
Miriam stared for a moment.
Yes, I was kind of in shock, okay? Bodyguard habits die hard, Yolanda. Maybe you have a lot of experience with dead bodies?
Yolanda slowly shook her head.
No, of course not. Go ahead. What happened then?
I call cops, Miriam said. But guess who show up first?
Anna Volani.
Yes, Anna Volani. She said she was calling in her favor. She told me exactly what to say to the cops.
And you did what she asked.
Miriam closed her eyes and nodded, the shame clear on her face.
I did. I told them I saw Jew Tweedy standing over body. I told them Jew was one to knock me out, then he took off.
Wycor raised a petty palp hand.
If I may?
Yolanda was annoyed by his interruption, but she nodded for him to go ahead.
You told the police that you saw Jew Tweedy standing over his murder victim, but that he just knocked you out and left? He would know you were a witness. It seems logical that a murderer would want to also eliminate any witnesses, and since he'd already killed one, why wouldn't he just kill again?
Miriam smiled grimly. Cops asked me same question, but Anna had me prepared. I just told them that Jew and I had been teammates. We play 3 seasons together. I block for him. We were friends. She looked away.
I lied to cops. I tell them that my friend is a killer.
Yolanda watched Miriam and marveled at the setup. Anna Polani wasn't just ruthless. She was calculating and damn good at it.
Jew is your friend, Yolanda said. Which means there was no way you could be mistaken in identifying him.
Exactly, Miriam said. Pretty tight, huh? Anna didn't leave any loopholes.
But you didn't see Jew there?
She shook her head. I didn't see anyone, Yolanda. At the time, I tried to justify to myself that maybe Jew had killed her. I hate to say it, but he probably did. I know there were witnesses who saw him running from building.
Wycor raised his hand.
Annoyed, Yolanda nodded sharply.
If I may, Miss Connor, you were at the scene and gave a report to the police. So why was your name not on the report?
That grim smile again. Part hate, part respect. Anna told me to tell him I was afraid of her.
that I would only give statement on condition that they keep my name out of everything. She had just taken out Sika the Death, so it'd make perfect sense that I would be afraid of her. The cops, they bought it. The cops, Yolanda said. You remember their names? Miriam thought for a moment. I talked to a leader, mostly. Rigat, or something like that. And his partner. I think his name was Clerk. Or maybe Clark. She could have found out who the cops were and been playing dumb, but it didn't seem that way. Miriam was close enough that Yolanda believed she had spoken with Rigat the Smooth and Joey Clark. Joey had only been a detective for a week or so, which made Rigat the senior and meant he would do most of the interviewing. That also meshed with Miriam's story. Yolanda let this information swirl about her mind. Miriam had discovered the body and given a false statement. She lied about that, so she could be lying now. Miriam, I have to ask you this. Did you? Did I kill Grace McDermott? No. She held up her maimed arm, the prosthesis, immobile. No way I could have done that kind of damage to her with this. Yolanda looked to the rack of prosthetic arms. Sure, you may not be able to do it with the arm you have on now, but what about one of those? I know what kind of prosthetics and mods are available out there. In a way, you could have been the perfect assassin. Kill Grace, get rid of the murder weapon, then be found at the crime scene with just one good arm, making it impossible that you did the killing. Miriam glared in anger. Even after her story, she was somehow indignant at being accused of a crime. She seemed to realize the irony of that herself, and her anger faded away. I never thought of that, she said. Yes, it's possible. The cops didn't ask you that? Miriam thought, then shook her head. I don't think so. It's hard to remember. I was kind of messed up at the time. Yolanda looked hard, trying to see if her friend was lying, but Miriam seemed genuine. So why didn't the cops think you were a suspect? Maybe because I lack motive, and you look good for the crime. Maybe because neighbors see you fleeing the scene, and I had lump on back of my head the size of a Kretorakian. I'd filed the proper permits, I had every reason to be there at the time. It was my fourth day on the job. I swear to you, Yolanda, I didn't kill Gracie. Gracie, Yolanda said. Sounds like you knew her. Miriam shook her head, then nodded. Well, yes. I was asking her what she wanted done to Hallway. I didn't know her personally or anything. I thought she had a real job again. Oh, high one. I was so stupid. I was used. Miriam hid her face in her hands. She rocked back and forth slightly. Yolanda watched her and mulled over the rush of information. If all of this was true, Volani had constructed the perfect frame job on Jew Tweedy. There was a witness who saw Jew standing over the body, a witness who knew Jew closely and couldn't possibly misidentify him, a witness who was an architect on site doing actual architect work, a witness who had a very valid reason for wanting her name kept off the reports. That would give the cops critical information, but that information would escape the scrutiny of the press. Miriam, is there anything else you can tell me? Miriam shook her head and wiped away a tear. No, that's it. Yolanda took the other woman's hand. If Filani did this, she'll do anything to cover it up. Maybe you should get out of town. The heavy G woman shook her head. No, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm fine. I pay my debt to Filani. I'm out, Yolanda. This is where my life is. This is where my team is. I have season tickets to death games. I get to hang out with current players, some of my old teammates. The Kretorakians don't control OS-1. That means I can have my prosthetic arm and any mods I need to control it properly. That cricket Juarez took my life away, but here I can have two arms and not be freak. I have my home. I am not in debt to Volani anymore. I won't leave. Yolanda shook her head. You believe that?
She's a gangster, Miriam. You'll never be out.
Miriam stood up.
You don't know her. The murder was a year ago, and she hasn't bothered me since. Polani is evil and horrible and killer, but her word is good. Just as good as your word, you won't give up his source. And if you're true to that word, Yolanda, then Anna will never know about this conversation, and I've got nothing to worry about. Right?
Miriam almost shouted that last word, but it wasn't a threat. It was a plea.
Yolanda stood.
I swear to you, Miriam, no one will ever know about this conversation.
The bigger woman turned to face Wycor.
And you? I don't know you, and you don't know me. You don't owe me any loyalty. How do I know you'll keep your mouth shut?
Wycor stood and held his pedipalp hands down, palms out.
Miss Connor, my Shamakath instructed me to assist Miss Davenport and do whatever I was told. If Miss Davenport tells me to never mention this, then I am honor-bound to obey, as long as that promise doesn't put my Shamakath in danger.
Miriam turned to Yolanda.
Who is his Shamakath?
Commissioner Frost.
Miriam's eyebrows rose.
No kidding?
No kidding, Yolanda said.
And it's clear nothing you have said would involve his safety, so Wycor, as he said, is honor-bound to keep his little mouth shut. Your secret is safe with us. Is there anything else that you want to tell me?
Miriam thought for a moment, then shook her head. She looked like she was on the verge of tears. She had made mistakes and feared those mistakes would cost a friendship. Maybe they had, but this wasn't the time to put a nail in that coffin. Yolanda reached out and hugged the bigger woman. With the hug, the tears came.
Thank you, Miriam said. Thank you for not hating me.
Yolanda patted the muscular back.
You did what you had to do.
In a way, that was true. The first mistake was making a deal with Anna Vellani. That horrible things would follow, that was inevitable. Yolanda pulled away.
Is there any way out of here other than the stairs?
There is internal hallway and elevator, Miriam said. Goes down into parking garage. Call a cab, it can pull right in. Even if someone follow you here, they won't see you leave. And thanks for not recording any of this, Yo-Yo. That makes me feel so much better. I hope you find the monster that did this.
Miriam showed them the way out. Yolanda assured her once again that the secret was safe. Yolanda and Wycor rode the elevator down together.
Wycor, you get all that?
Oh yes, Miss Davenport. Every word.
Good. As soon as we get in the cab, take my message board and start transcribing. There's something off about her story.
The body,
Wycor said.
What was she doing with the body? If McDermott's body was as damaged as she says, no sane sentient would check for a pulse. Was the damage as bad as Miss Connor described?
I don't know, Yolanda said. The autopsy report was sealed. I tried to get in and see the OS-1 chief of police, see if I could get access, but he wouldn't even give me a meeting.
Bob wouldn't see you?
Yolanda stared at him. Bob? You call Chief Robert Gilliland Bob?
He prefers that name,
Wycor said.
When I check for stadium security on this planet, I speak to him often.
Yolanda laughed.
Imagine the luck.
There is no such thing as luck,
Wycor said.
If the city can't guarantee the safety of players and staff, it will lose its GFL franchise. That would cost any city millions, if not billions, in revenue. Therefore, police departments are invested in making sure things stay safe and secure. As a representative of Commissioner Frost, I frequently deal with the local law enforcement administrations.
So a lowly worker was on a first-name basis with big city police chiefs? Maybe there was more to Wycor than she'd first thought. The elevator stopped. The doors opened to the parking garage.
Wycor, can you arrange a meeting with Bob?
Of course,
Wycor said.
He is always happy to see me.
Yolanda nodded, knowing full well that this time, Bob might not be so happy at all.
That was the reporter episode number 2. Hope you guys are enjoying the story. Before the episode, I told you I would tell you about why the reporter and not the detective. Why are we podcasting one other than the other? Yes, the reporter has been out on Audible and iTunes for a while. So if you haven't bought it and you want to get the whole story and don't want to wait another 8-9 weeks to get through it all, just swing over to Audible or iTunes and buy that, or go to scottsigler.com/thereporter, one word, and all of the links are right there. So why are we doing that? Well, the obvious reason is The Detective is still in production. The audiobook is finished. Steve Rickyberg is editing away. He's on it like a comet. Should be available in the Audible and iTunes store pretty soon. And our model now is we release stuff first in print and on Audible because we got to get them ducats. We release stuff for sale. Then later on, it is free in the podcast. I know back in the old days, we used to release stuff for free first, then charge for it. But we flipped that because we got a business to run. And this is now how we roll. We release first for profit and later on give the story away unabridged. Mind you, we still give the whole thing away for free. We feel this model gives us the best of all worlds. You guys have the opportunity to get the story right now if you want it. If buying the story isn't for you, though, at that given time, we've all been there. We understand. You still get your fix. You just have to wait a little while for it. That's why we're doing the reporter right now. The Detective, I don't know when we'll podcast The Detective, but it'll wind up in the queue. And it should run sometime after we podcast A Light, which is book 2 of the Generations trilogy. So once again, happy Thanksgiving to your faces. We here at Empty Set Entertainment are forever grateful for your time and or your moolah, all the stuff that you give us. We appreciate it like you have no idea. It's true, we love you, and not in that weird, creepy uncle way either. We actually do love you for who you are, and also your faces. And we put things in your ears every week, whether you like it or not. Clearly, you do like it, otherwise you wouldn't come back. So next week, we'll be back to put more stuff in your ears, and we will talk to you all real soon. You have been listening to The Reporter, a Galactic Football League novella, written by Scott Sigler and Mer Lafferty, narrated by Scott Sigler. For more information on Scott Sigler and for more free stories from this author, go to scottsigler.com. The Reporter was produced by A. Kovacs and engineered by Steve Rickyberg. Copyright 2015, Empty Set Entertainment. Theme music is the song Heaven's Alive by the band Lacuna Coil.